something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And today, y'all, we are coming back on with a friend of the show. I think one of the first friends that I made thanks to this show through the podcast. I fangirled really hard. I think I was so giddy when you came on, that everybody was like, is she okay? Because I was so excited to have you on. And actually, it was one of our last interviews that we did in that studio because the pandemic had happened and we quickly went to shut down. But with all of this, yes, I'm building it up. We are here today with Representative Park Cannon of Georgia House District 58. Welcome back.
Thank you. I am still legislatively yours. I am still the youngest Democrat elected to the House in Georgia. And now I am the secretary of the caucus.
Yes, you have done so much. And if you can't tell, I'm still fangirling because I have watched you continue to grow, doing so much for our community specifically and being our voices, and very excited that you are continuing in this track with our interests in mind. And I really feel like you're one of the hopes that we have when it comes to politics, because it's been disappointing, let's be honest. You know, I think we came back with a lot of heartbreak in the last 4 years, a lot of also, you know, restoration of faith as well. But you are one of the few that I still keep watching and have not been disappointed by. So thank you.
Hey, honestly, I feel like there are some lesbian foremothers and some queer folks out here holding me accountable. And so the work is definitely of our office, but also I think of a lot of the people who feel like things are broken.
Yeah. And of course, you have given some of the things that you've been doing and you're still doing. And we have to put behind your title, you know, advocate, of course, style icon, still are, because girl, you're killing it. As I'm watching you on Instagram, I'm like, I need style advice from her. Reproductive justice advocate and doula. And you've been fighting so hard with that. You're an author. Hello. Yes, you are. And yeah, you've done so much. And we're so excited to have you back on. And with that, how have you been? How are you doing?
It's been interesting. I now have two therapists.
Yeah.
And
oh my goodness.
My team at the Capitol has grown to make sure that we've got everything covered. And ultimately, I've started ballroom dancing.
Ooh.
Yes. Your girl did a cha-cha competition. And
yeah.
I'm not going to get too much into it because it was for charity. But I got the highest points in the competition, but walked away with no trophy because they had a sudden dance off in a totally different genre. And I was just giving basic and they needed extra. So the moral of the story is I'm fine, but I'm still missing that trophy.
You were robbed. Come on. Come on. We need to see clips of this because I have questions.
I will email it to you immediately. Please. It's on my Instagram and your girl is still going to therapy over it.
I would too. But that's still amazing that you went and competed because for me, things like that, I'm like, no, thank you. I would be on the sideline eating popcorn, watching you do it.
No, I really have to move a lot of the stuff that happens at the Capitol out of my body.
Yeah.
And so I go to the sauna and I go to stretch class and physical therapy and just try to use some different herbs in my bathtub, you know, just really trying to get the white supremacy off of me.
Yeah. Oh, and in the state of Georgia, I can't imagine. But with all that, you have been obviously very, very busy being on the front lines in Georgia politics. You've been on the front pages of news all over the country, all over the nation, fighting for your people and your community. Again, that's a whole lot of responsibility being placed onto your shoulders. I cannot imagine. And I'm thinking, I don't think you get enough baths. not enough of those to be able to completely relax. But again, like I said, just watching you doing the work that you're doing, still fighting, especially what feels like an uphill battle constantly, has been so, like, it's not just encouraging. There's so many words that I don't have enough of because we know, again, after being disappointed, this is the moments where I'm like, yeah, I know I'm significantly older than you, but you're doing all of this work and I know it has to be from people like you, unfortunately, because you're the ones who really, really push it forward. And I love that.
We're super future-minded in my office to the point where we're thinking past the wars that we're in. We're thinking past the brutality that we're seeing and past the mortality experiences, really into a world that is infinite with opportunity. So I think that this last session, I went in thinking, how can I serve members even when they don't know they're being served? Mm-hmm. And how can I rest a little bit more? So I've been calling myself internally the sedentary secretary because I've been trying to sit down and do the work more because people would always say, like, there goes Park Cannon. Like, her feet are going fast down a hallway. And I enjoyed, like, the click-clack, but I've also realized being sedentary, being settled, helping people see the power in, you know, being organized. Mm-hmm. So I've been enjoying the sedentary secretary role a little bit this year.
Ooh, that power of being organized. That's a statement that I don't understand. I need it, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And as a secretary, I know, you know, and the world knows that a lot is happening right now in Georgia. We are a pretty big focal point for a lot of things. And one of the big things, of course, has to do with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And even before then, conservatives in Georgia have been working to completely dismantle abortion rights. We know that. It's been a thing. They've been doing this and now have had the chance to run with that, unfortunately. And they have placed that 6-week ban in full effect. And we know that access has been severely limited, even though there is more support for abortion access than not, like publicly. But hey, why do we care what the people want, right? What are some things we may not know about the law that was passed?
Yeah. So the law makes it ambiguous on to who can drive in an HOV lane, because how does a police officer decide who's pregnant or not? And when do you decide that the pregnancy is viable enough to get out of a ticket? It also makes it so that the process of child support can be started while someone is in the womb. And it also makes it so that different healthcare facilities are criminalized ultimately for their role in dealing with miscarriages. So it's a pretty intense reality that we have here in Georgia, which is why I'm proud of organizations like ARC Southeast and the Feminist Women's Health Center that still provide access to abortion inside the state and also help you travel or get childcare or hotel care if you have to go outside of the state. And legislatively, we've been passing bills to say if you're going to make it so that people have to remain pregnant and carry to term, then you're going to need to change some systemic issues. So this year we were able to create a new commission on basically maternal equity and excellence. And so it will convene 14 different stakeholders who are not just OBGYNs, but who are system administrators and pelvic floor specialists and chiropractors who can say what's wrong with Georgia's healthcare system, as well as we've put some more money in the budget for our review committee, which when someone passes away in childbirth, there's this review committee that figures out how it happened. And that review committee has been so key because it has proven that 89% of the births that ended fatally in Georgia were preventable. So when things are preventable, that means that we should start compensating people. So just yesterday, I put in a bill that would create a survivor's fund for families of those who pass away in childbirth.
Right. Yeah. And as in fact, that was something I was going to bring up because you've been sponsoring or introducing bills since the new policies have happened with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, trying to lessen the restrictions or at least help those who are most affected by those bills, like HB 1. I know the Georgia Pro-Birth Accountability Act, which was amazing. Like, you have some of the best, I feel like, comebacks to like the most archaic and awful bills or policies that have happened. You just come back with like, oh, okay, well, let's talk about this instead. And I love that because you do this in politics. You do this in policy form. And I'm like, damn, I don't know if people realize how artful this really is. And we don't talk about it enough. But bills like this, which is just something trying to hold people accountable for irresponsible bills that target pregnant people, but don't want to actually help or give assistance after birth or in case of death. Mm-hmm. So you kind of already talked about it, but can you elaborate more on why these bills are important, why we need to keep talking about it, and actually we need to make it public?
For sure. So for example, a mama who is on Medicaid in Georgia right now gets to have health insurance simply because that person is pregnant. But as soon as the pregnancy is over, they can be kicked off of Medicaid. So we expanded Medicaid for mamas only postpartum in Georgia. And that gives folks up to 1 year, which covers that postpartum possible mortality period. But what we've seen is that not only are people barely surviving that 1 year, but they're having a lot of other complications and issues that could be viewed from other medical perspectives if the system was paying attention. So, for example, we put a bill together this year that says, why wait for the 6-week OB visit to ask the mama how her mental health is? Why don't we just have that happen at the newborn visit, which happens within 1 week of birth? And these bills are so important for Medicaid mamas because they're expecting that the system is going to set off an alarm and say, hey, it's time for you to come in for this visit. Hey, it's time for you to check in about birth control. And the systems are not. The OBs are not talking to the pediatricians, who are not talking to the labor and delivery nurses, who aren't talking to the doulas. So that's why it's so important that we put together this commission where everyone can finally talk to each other and get out of silos. And on top of that, with the Survivors Fund, we've been hit with naysayers who will say, well, there is an anti-gratuities clause in the state of Georgia, which means that same way that legislators can't get free tickets to things, that residents of Georgia can't just receive free government money and free government, you know, items. And so some naysayers have said, well, what does the state have to do with a mama who passes away in childbirth's child going to kindergarten? And our response is everything. How can we make it possible that this is not something that you can talk down on, but that you can publicize? And so the way that we're seeing this is if that review committee deems a death as preventable, that process takes 1 year. So it's at least a year after the mortality, and then the family could apply. And by that point, you know, some of the grieving, some of the trauma, some of the family issues might have resolved a little bit, so that now you can make a plan for that child's life and the guardian or whoever it's going to be. And we're hopeful that what we'll see is that people who have almost passed away, which we call morbidity, maternal morbidity, or a near miss, that will start to catch some of their experiences too, as they start to reach out to the committee to share what's going on with them.
Yeah.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things that we're seeing with all of these laws or legislations that are being proposed that are very anti-abortion, anti-reproductive rights, is fear, I think, and confusion, just mass confusion. So technically, abortion is still legal here, and you've already talked about some things still legal here in Georgia. I mean, what do the listeners need to know when it comes to Georgia and that?
Here in Georgia, if you take a pregnancy test and you see that you're pregnant, you're going to need to follow up and find how many weeks pregnant you are, because that determines your access to care. There are some clinics that are able to provide abortion pills to you if, when you receive your ultrasound, if it says that you're less than 6 weeks gestation. And if you are over 6 weeks and it is not an extreme case of incest or rape that you have reported to the police and have a report for, then you will have to go out of state to North Carolina and receive services there, which they go a little bit further than we do, but they also don't go as far as the next state, which would be Virginia. So right now we are seeing a lot of families leave Georgia and head straight for Virginia without checking how far along they are, just to make sure that they can get the best care.
Right. Which is upsetting. Like, there are so many conversations that need to be had with these kind of restrictions. But yes, but they act like the fact of the matter is it is still technically legal, 6 weeks and under, of course, with the many guidelines that's just like, I get so angry. I can't even talk. Like, I'm just fumbling through the requirements that they have set up for access, and it is almost impossible. It's kind of that same level of like they're hoping that you'll go to a pregnancy center and like being tricked into all of that. So I'm not even gonna go into all that because I don't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will flip things. I will throw things apart right now. Like, I just want to throw things. So I'm gonna calm down. But like, there's so many things that need to be had. But that things like the organizations that you were talking about, ARC, whom I love, they are probably one of my favorite organizations, really do so much, but make sure that they are fighting for reproductive rights in general. Like, they're not just working to help their clients, they're helping, trying to help those in this area, which.
Yeah, they're in the Amplify Coalition, which is a collaborative of different nonprofits who amplify issues of reproductive justice. So the Amplify folks have been down at the Capitol. They have been doing great work. And I'm super grateful, too, that we get to have different conversations, like about trans folks, about queer communities, about how Cop City impacts queer folks. And Amplify is really leading on those issues.
Yeah. And that's some big stuff. I haven't even tried to bring up Cop City because I'm like, oh, that's another. I bring it up in like sarcastic tone because it just feels so bleak being in Georgia and knowing what is happening here already. And you're like, what? With the people who I thought I could trust in the city council really turned up disappointing, as I said. But like, this is what I'm talking about, the amount of disappointment that I've seen within our government, who I thought would do what was for the best interest. And the fact that it's very, like, the list is getting shorter. Again, you're still on my list. Thank you so much, Bart.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But, you know, and on top of that, in this conversation, we have to talk about the voter suppression stuff that has been happening in the South and in Georgia as well. And the continued use of trickery and all the things that's happening here. And Georgia has become a swing state. We know this. And when it comes to elections, and we've become a focal point for many when it comes to the results in elections and government. And even after both Kemp and Raffensperger confirmed that there was no fraud or illegal doings in 2020, they still use that fear mongering to make it harder for marginalized folks to vote. And they did this sneakily and deceptively by signing the Election Integrity Act of 2021, which I feel like is a slap in the face in general. Like, that's such a lie. That is not what's happening.
That was their talking point for that year, integrity. And we really read through it and helped them understand that it was really just human rights violations. So
right.
Yeah. And you actually decided to take action on that, but before we get into that, can you talk about why acts like these are harmful for voters? And do not put integrity into anything.
Yeah, when you revamp the entire voting code, however, you don't get input from First Amendment organizations, voting rights groups, nor the offices at the local departments that are going to effectuate the elections, you know that there is no integrity to it. We have seen that in the recent elections, people have continued to show up to early vote more than they have shown up on election day. And that's been great because then it gives you an opportunity to vote in different places at different times. But also we have seen some voter confusion as to what district they're in, because since I talked to y'all last, we've gone through two cycles of redistricting, whereas we only should have had zero. Right. So we had to come in a special session, redraw maps, then they went to court, and then the court had to decide if they complied with the Voting Rights Act. And although we, along with ACLU, and a number of other organizations argued that they did not comply with the Voting Rights Act, the courts ruled in the favor of our opponents and said that the maps could go into effect. And so simply just helping people know what district they're in right now has been important due to these voter issues and changes over the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, as Georgia residents and voters, we want to thank you, because not only did you take action against something that was so harmful to us, but you helped bring attention to the unethical practices and policies like these. Like, no matter what, they did not like come out looking good. There was nothing about this that was like, oh, yeah, they're doing great, but they're hiding it. But while you were going through this, you were a story. You were going on the front page news everywhere. I remember seeing it going, yeah, that's my girl right there. That's my friend. I was like, yeah, I know her. But what was going through your mind when all this came about, when you were going at the door? Like, if you want to talk about it, you don't have to go into detail, because I know you've talked about it many a times. But having to stand at the door, trying to get their attention, be like, this is not the way this works. And then having to try to, like, just have an adult conversation is what it seemed like.
This week is the 3-year anniversary of my unlawful arrest at the Georgia State Capitol. And the reflections that I have on it are twofold. One, that I am actively suing the state of Georgia right now in order for them to understand that they violated my rights and there is compensation as well as changes that need to happen so this does not affect another legislator. And secondly, that the world is watching. The world has seen these same officers arrest other elected officials in their capacity, that the world has seen them pass voter challenge laws in front of plantation photos, that the world has seen them continue to evade responsibility for interfering with elections in Fulton County. So as I reflect on it, I'm so proud that Fonnie Willis was recently elected the district attorney when my unlawful arrest happened, and she was able to drop the charges. And today we have been standing with her. I am now the Fulton County chair. And so as Fulton County elected officials, we have been supporting her through this time in which they have been trying to put her on trial, but they should be terrified because they have awoken so many other people. Like, in my experience, they woke so many people who thought that voter challenges were of the past. And in her case, they have awakened many individuals who can see how misogyny plays into elected leadership and how at the same time, she has been phenomenal with her pursuit of justice for all of Georgia and the nation. So I'm feeling kind of excited that this is where we are and that the eyes are still on Fulton County voters.
Right. I will say, like, watching the TikTok videos of the different testimonials and all of that testifying happening, I'm like, okay, I am a millennial Gen Xer. So when this phrase stand on business came out, I was like, what? Now I get it. Like, watching her, like, oh, that's what that means. Like, those are the moments. And you doing what you did, like, standing there and making sure that people understood, we're watching you. You can't hide this. We're not going to let you hide this. Like, both of those moments, I'm like, I get that. I get that phrase. I'm here now.
Yes. We stand for Fonnie.
Yes. And I'm telling you what, the level of professionalism that she has, like, this is the I feel like a battle of competence versus ignorance, like the difference of like, yeah, this is what this looks like. Yeah, I like it. Thank you for representing Georgia in such a way for Fulton County, right? Mm-hmm. But, oh, I hadn't realized that you were a chair for Fulton County. You're very busy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're very busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you for being here. Okay, speaking of, we are back into a presidential election season again. It feels like we never left. But there are very similar scenarios that we've seen before, but what are some things that we should all be paying attention to right now? What are some key factors we may need to know?
So the reason why we vote in the March primary is to designate our party so that in the May primary, that candidates like myself can reach out to their voters. And right now it's so important because we've had all these redistrictings. So as much as people have been like, I'm not interested in voting for either candidate, that's fine. I hear you. The progressivism has not been there, and we would regress otherwise. But this is a system of participation. It does not award people who do not participate. So I am pushing for voter participation as a process. I want you to know what district you were in last election and which one you're in this time. I want you to know what was your polling place and what is it now? Because even my polling place changed this election and I'm the elected official. So I know that for other people, the process of receiving a notice in the mail and saying, this says my polling place has changed. Do I believe it? Is this real? Is this not? There is going to take more voter touches from myself, the candidate, to help people feel like, okay, yeah, this is real. I've gotten a notice in the mail. Park Cannon's office has told me on letterhead. And then I also received a campaign literature from her. But if you don't participate, you literally don't get put on the super voters list. So you drop from being a person who has voted in 3 of the 4 previous elections to 2 of the 4 previous elections. And it wasn't because of anything other than your unwillingness to vote for a specific candidate to which you could write in. So we've been talking a lot about folks, you know, needing to understand the point of the primaries is really to help us figure out what is our database. And so all the data folks out there, all the people who are good at Excel spreadsheets, all the people who do real estate and who do generating leads, you understand why having data that is accurate is important. Secondly, the issues that hit the federal level really come to pass at the state level. So when we're talking about issues of immigration, as much as it is the federal government's purview to determine policies related to how they treat people migrating, how they fund the resources for them, and how they deal with criminalities, it comes to bear with a local sheriff, deputy, pulling someone over. And so we need to be clear that when we vote for the federal elections, we are enabling or disabling local actors to do what needs to be done to not violate people's human rights. And my concern right now is that people feel like this is us showing our loyalty to federal actors, when really this is us being the first line of defense for our local people to be okay. And so our office can't wait to get out of session. We finish on the 28th, and we are going to be knocking people's doors, hosting events, having rallies, not for candidates, but for cause.
Right. Which I've seen you've been doing during the middle of sessions as well. I know you've been doing those things. I think, yeah, that important message of like how it does affect what's going on in a local level, and we have to be careful and watch it. Like, all of these things interact together, and it does affect us all, as we've continued to see. Things that have happened on a federal level in the Supreme Court has absolutely drastically affected all of us, even though it's supposed to be with that whole intent of being state rights BS. But, you know, that's a whole different conversation, which is what the concern is, which is that conversation. Because, yeah, I'm definitely one of those. I'm like, I don't like my options, but I'm going to go with the lesser evil. And I know it's important that I have to stick to that, because when we were lax for a second, and I don't think I was that lax to begin with. Like, I say this and that, like, I voted and I was concerned. And I remember people being like, it's not that big of a deal when Trump came through. It's not that big of a deal. And we saw, like, it's been a wreck. It's been a wreck. In a
My legislative life has been starkly different throughout the three presidencies I've served under: Obama, Trump, and Biden. And what I can say is that if you're not concerned with supporting a federal candidate, think about the impact that either of those presidencies would have on queer local elected officials like myself, who are defending against these issues. Like, just scale back and think about how it empowers folks like us who are on the ground and who know our communities well, so that it feels less icky.
Right. That's a good way to say it. Sorry. I know it gives you the ick, but you got to figure out what it really does mean. Like,
think about me. Think about me in my shoes and my glasses and me being bopping around the streets of Atlanta. Like, right. Focus on that side.
Help us out here. And before we end, because there's still several more things that we do want to talk about, but we do have to throw it back to our last interview with you when we talked about how you got into politics to begin with, and your advice for others who are interested as well. And not only did you give us some great advice then and listeners, but you've actually written a book to give a step-by-step guide and insight into running for office. That's titled The Universal Guide to Running for Office, State Level, which, by the way, I found at the DeKalb Library. Library system. And I was able to check it out and read through it. So I was like, look at here.
Honestly, shout out to my friend Michelle, who has been getting my books into library systems and different places. And anyone who's listening, if you want a copy for your local library, just present it to them and they should be able to put it on the shelf.
Yeah. And it's great. I was so excited to get it. And not only do you give straightforward practical advice, like raising funds and campaigning and paperwork even, and even about like yard signs, like you were all in it. But you talk about the need for justice, inclusion, care as well. I'm going to quote from the book because, you know, that's what I like to do. Bring the issues of all types of justice to the forefront of your campaign: racial, economic, transit, healthcare, environmental, disability, reproductive, criminal, restorative, global, and social, to start a list of some that voters care to hear from you about. This is one of the most liberating parts of running for office, because it truly allows many viewpoints and needs to be explored and expanded based on your actions. And I feel like, even though that sounds obvious, I don't think we get to truly witness this in many politicians, in many people in government. So can you expand on why practicing, I'm going to say this, I see this as empathy, essentially, and care intersectionality. But can you expand on to why it's important to have this type of lead in politics and policy?
When candidates realize that people want to vote for more than just talking points, but for actual lived experiences and opportunities for collaboration, then things are better. Because if I walk up to someone's porch and they've done some renovations, I'm excited to talk to them about who did they use and how did it work and why did they decide this style and et cetera, versus me just walking up, putting the flyer on the door and walking away. If I just leave my flyer, all they see are talking points. But if I actually try to engage with them, try to go to their neighborhood meetings, I get to hear about what's going on. And maybe for some communities, the idea of renovating your porch is controversial because it needs to fit into a artistic mold of the neighborhood, you know? But for other communities, it's a sign of economic prosperity to be able to like redo your grandmama's porch. And so there's some code switching, of course, that takes place as a candidate. And really, campaign managers and campaign team members are the ones who can help you to stay to the ground. Like maybe out of a block of 10, you knock five doors and your team knocks five. But at least you have that come together conversation where you're like, okay, what were they talking about over there? And I'm excited that now that we are experiencing the COVID a different way and people are open to seeing each other face to face and being out in community events, that candidates who are running this cycle will have the opportunity to be more external and to be more long-winded. But it was just a function of the pandemic that I feel these past 3 years, candidates have really had to be concise. And so I'm hopeful to see more folks reach into our groups, reach into the book, and try to come up with some like savvy slogans and interesting campaigns. And I've been seeing some of them around, like the yard signs are coming out now. And people are really starting to, I think, pull their identities to the front instead of pushing them back.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I also love that you put your glasses as part of your yard sign.
Yes,
it was so good.
We tested it. It said looking out for you, forward thinking.
Yes.
And so I want more candidates to do things like that. Like there's a young elected official who just got into the House, and his last name is Bell. So on his yard signs, he has a bell. Mm-hmm. And then like all of his things is like, wake up, it's time, right? Or like, you know, the bell is ringing for justice. And so I think that when candidates start to get into more creative ways of campaigns, that you get people to come to you instead of you having to go to them.
Annie loves a good pun, so she's down for all of those.
I do love a good pun.
Yes. And you, as you're talking, you are currently in election season yourself. And now you're a pro. You're a pro at this. But I'm sure as time has changed, as candidates have changed, as federal levels changed, and as our societies changed, you've had to adapt to it. Like you talk about pandemic and COVID and having to change in that way. Is there, or maybe you didn't, I'm assuming, this is my assumption, but is there anything different you're doing this time around than you were before?
This time around, we're working backwards from the voter registration deadline instead of working backwards from election day. So we're thinking about by the voter registration deadline, people should have these three things: their polling place in mind, the candidates they're willing to vote for, and who it is that they're going to turn out. Instead of waiting until after the voter registration deadline, when then you might not be able to get some registered, or you might not be able to change your address. So I think that that's going to help us to increase our turnout by just making sure that folks know where to vote and have those decisions made sooner.
Yes.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So one thing you did in your book that wasn't quite what we expected was that you had a whole section on affirmations. So can you talk about what made you decide to put that in there and why you think that is something that is important?
Yeah, I'm a doula, so I'm always helping folks with their emotions. And I realized that candidates need a doula too, because you face the world as yourself and then come home and take care of your family life. And sometimes even the folks closest to you don't know how to help. So placing on paper some of your affirmations based on the things that you've gone through, I found can really help, especially when, for example, I was trying to figure out, like, am I going to be 10 minutes late to this neighborhood meeting, or am I going to stop and get me a bubble tea? One of my affirmations is I'm going to get that bubble tea because yeah. My mouth is now juicier and I've got some, you know, good feelings going on. I can kind of come into the meeting and people are like, ooh, she drinks boba. Yeah, she likes boba. Oh, what kind of boba? You know? And so it helped me to get out of just the cookie cutterness of campaigns. And so I have some really interesting affirmations in there that are things like related to the bubble tea, but then also things that are about your aspirations for the world. Like, I'm so glad that I wrote the affirmation, "We can win without war," in my book back in 2021, because I still feel that way. I still feel like the binary conversations that are happening about global justice right now, we can win this without the war. We really can. We got to figure it out. But letting folks write their own affirmations, I'm hopeful, will bring them closer to their communities too, and then be like a journal that they can look back on in their candidate experience and not feel like it's all washed over them.
Yeah. One of the affirmations that kind of surprised me when I was reading through it was, I will hold myself accountable, because that's not the typical affirmation that you we might joke about, like, I feel good today, I feel pretty, all these things. But that was a surprising one, because I'm like, that's some real talk to yourself. Like, that's an interesting affirmation, in understanding that you're going to have to take a minute and realize what that actually means. But with that, for us who are just trying to get through this year and hopefully not have a horrible, horrible result, can you share a good affirmation for us to start with? Because that's not a typical thing that I do.
Yes, we are of the practice that we practice. So if we practice to not vote, we are going to continue to see our access to the ballot go away. If we practice being in positivity with our neighbors, like not being gentrifiers who call the police on Black people, then we too will probably face better circumstances when it comes to our policing, our mortality. And as legislators, we jump out of the legislative session into the campaign cycle overnight. But for voters, this is going to feel like a long time, like just from March until November. And so what are the practices that you can put in to make this chunky, to make this soup have some taste, to give it a vegetable and a tofu. And so I'm hopeful that people will be like, oh, you know what? I could do a voter registration check on my neighbors. I could text 5 people and ask them before the voter registration deadline if they're registered. I could go to a rally or plan a rally. Like, I could decide to drive some people to the polls and then I could vote. So hopefully we are, you know, of the practice that we practice.
I like it. I like that you also added tofu. Like, that's not difficult.
I love it.
I like it.
We're
like
big fans of soup over here, so that's great.
And I love adding tofu to all of it. My kimchi jjigae, all the tofu, please. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've done so much. And you've kind of already talked about it, because you're talking about the ballroom dancing and realizing that you need to leave some of the darkness when it comes to policy, being in government work, behind and let it off of you a little bit. But can you tell us some things that you are, some other of the things, or just even go into more detail on how you try to relax and pause from the chaos of all of this?
Yeah, I learned from the legislator who left the seat before me that burning out happens within a system of people, within a group of people, and it's not always personal. So when I'm seeing other legislators be like, I don't want to qualify for reelection, I can't deal with this constituent reaching out to me about Cop City, I don't know what to say about, you know, issues that are global or domestic issues, or I don't want to be a surrogate for this person, I can start to hear the burnout happening too. And I can be somewhere, maybe further along in my healing process, to help them along too. And I can just ask them like, hey, you do know that there's this one organization that will pay for a therapist for us? Or, hey, do you want to come with me and work out before session? And I'm not solving all the issues that they have, but just kind of calming the collective burnout in some ways is important. And then when people decide that they do want to move on, that they are going to run for something higher, or they're not going to run for reelection, like really taking the time to not just forget them. They've served the state of Georgia, and there are a number of people who are not going to run for reelection who I am right now starting to figure out, well, what will my friendship look like with them? And what are the things that maybe I can learn from them in their time here, so that I can continue forward? So check on your legislators. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we need y'all to check on us. We need to check on each other. We need a lot of help.
Let's go ballroom dancing. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to go.
Friday nights, Red Astaire Dance Studio. It is free.
Okay.
It is open floor.
Oh.
And there are instructors there. And you just come in, get you a little cerveza or a little wine.
Yeah, yeah.
Water, Gatorade, whatever you like.
Got the
and then they'll call out like cha-cha. And ooh, then everyone goes to the floor. And you know, the cha-cha, you know, is a specific step. And so then they'll start calling it out. 1, 2, 3, cha-cha-cha. 2, 3, cha-cha-cha. And so you just kind of start getting in where you're fitting in. The song is over. Then they'll call for sa-sa. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And so people can get in. You're going to make it.
I was going to say, I feel like I'm getting a lesson. I stick with Zumba. At the very least, like I'm going to do some Zumba. That's the level.
It has elements of it all. So that's excellent.
I love it. I love it so much. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today. Hopefully we'll have you back. Hopefully you'll be a recurring guest.
I would love that.
Gotta be quicker than this, though. Yeah. Not every 4 years.
Not every 4 years. We should shorten that gap. But where can the good listeners find you?
Right now, I'm at the state capitol in room 607. And that is where you can come hang out in my pink and blue chairs. I have a pink desk. The girl has signs that support folks of all backgrounds and a really diverse team. After April, we will be at the Lola, which is our community co-working space. It's a femme-owned and operated co-working space across from Pont City Market. So come check us out at the Lola. And then heading up to November, we will be going across this country to try to raise money for Democrats in Georgia. We will be at the DNC in August in Chicago. And all times in between, we will be on Instagram having a good time at Park Cannon 58.
Yes. I love it. I love it so much. Thank you. Thank you again. And we'll be in touch about future discussions.
More things. Maybe yes. Ballroom dancing. I don't know. I want to see Annie ballroom dance.
Yes. I love it. And we would also love to have y'all a day at the Capitol one day.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes we invite different media folks and they broadcast live from there, or we set up certain interviews, or you can just come for a tour, you know. Yeah. Have y'all seen the two-headed cow and the two-headed snake?
You know, the last time I was at the Capitol, I really think it was my eighth grade trip. So it's been a hot minute. Like, I'm not going to age myself, but over, yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
We should fix that.
I would love to have y'all come visit me one day. And thank you again for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. Such a joy. I love this.
If you would like to find us, listeners, you can. Our email is stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at @StuffWeNeverToldYou. We have a TeePublic store and we have a book that you could get wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff on Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.